Gotcha.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, okay. So give me 1 second here, just making sure. Checking levels and recording everything. 1 second. All right. All right. Let's see. And I did have one quick question. And I just want to make sure my facts were straight. You were credited as a writer on a Saint-Tropez song with J. Cole. Is that correct? Oh, no.
Yes.
You were. Okay. Because I wanted to just kind
of... Because he sampled one of our songs. Oh, that's why I got credit on that.
Gotcha. Okay. I just want to make sure about that. I'll just touch on that real quick, too, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. You're here with the boy, Big Brother Jake here. And this guest, man, she's worked with all of them. She's worked with Warren G, Dog Pound. She's been featured on such soundtracks as Set It Off and Panther. And she's worked with some of the greats in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Neb Love. What's going on, Neb? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Everything's lovely over here. Glad to have you on. Just wanted to talk with you a bit about the business and everything you've done in your career in the rap game. Who was your inspiration in hip-hop? Who's the one that had you pick up a mic and said, that's what I want to do?
I mean, there was a couple of inspirations. I would definitely say one of my good best friends, her name was Indigo. She went by the rap name of Indigo, and she was out of Compton. She was actually the first person that I knew that got a record deal at like 16. She was signed with DJ Pooh.
Right.
Her uncle... Damn, I don't want to mess up his name. Walter, he just passed. Yeah, he actually just passed. But what I will say, I can't think of her uncle's name right now. Mm-hmm. I'll try to get that to you later. But if you've seen the recent interview with Snoop and Master P, and Snoop was breaking it down how this cat connected him and Master P together when Snoop left Death Row.
Mm-hmm.
That was Indigo's uncle.
Okay.
And so I think it was Marvin. His first name is Marvin. I can't think of his last name, but he ended up becoming a really big part of West Coast hip hop, which
right.
I didn't know. I'm just still finding out. But anyway, back in the day, he signed Indigo to her first record deal. DJ Pooh produced it. It was sick. We was in the studio.
Right.
I think Mac 10 just got out of jail. He wasn't even Mac 10 then. But I met him at the studio with her. And it just showed me that, damn, like, you know, wait, we can get paid to do this, or we can be in big studios, and
right.
we can, like, really, you know, we could really get record deals. That was my first introduction to a legit label situation.
Right.
From there, I was always dancing and stuff, but MC Light played a big part of me also feeling like I had a chance at rapping and kind of being like, yo, I want to rock like Light. Like,
right.
She was just so dope to me. Light, Antoinette, they used to battle all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Queen Latifah. But MC Light was like the main female artist that made me want to get down and flow. And then, you know, it was a mixtape floating around. It had Freestyle Fellowship on it. It had Charlie Tuna on it. It had Snoop on it.
Okay.
I think they were, you know, but it was a mixtape going around at that time. And when I heard Freestyle Fellowship, it was a song called Physical Form. And I think it was Micah 9.
Yes.
And he was just like spitting and flowing. And I was like, damn, what is, like, who is this dude? Like, how does he flow like that? And they was like, yo, they freestyle. Like, what you mean? They're like, yo, they just pick up any book, Bible, whatever. And they just go off the head, and I was like, ooh, I want to do that. So from that point, I think I kind of started just learning my flows through freestyle and just kind of freestyling all the time. And that was kind of one of my traits, I guess, my skills. I mean, I could still pretty much freestyle decent.
Okay.
But, yeah, so between, you know, during that time, it was like MC Light, Indigo, Freestyle Fellowship. And then, you know, I listened to Tribe and, you know, I was on Brand Newbie and shit like that.
Oh, but yeah.
Those are the people that made it. You know, Freestyle Fellowship was from the West. And then, you know, MC Light was just a female that was just hard and dope. So, you know, yeah, that made me just keep writing. for sure.
Right.
And just trying to get better with my flows and better with my skills. And And I was kind of like a dancer. And I was like, I don't want to dance anymore. I want to be a rapper. So it was,
you got
like,
the bug.
It was kind of like, well, all right, well, bust a rap. You know what I mean? So I started kind of writing my raps, and they was kind of, they sucked. But then, you know, at some point they got better. So, you know,
okay.
That was kind of like the start of it.
All right, cool. So you get the bug. You start writing, like you said. You're like, okay, we can get paid to do this. How did it come about hooking up with Warren G? And how was it to be a part of the whole G-Funk movement?
Well, originally I had a manager, and my manager took me and Indigo, who I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We went up to Dr. Dre's house for, I think it was Michelle A's birthday party. This was during the recording of The Chronic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we go up to Dr. Dre's house. It's like Snoop in the corner, you know, fucking Corrupt. It was like Corrupt.
Right.
Me, Lady of Rage, Indigo, we all in a cypher bussing. I think Warren G was in another room making a beat, you know, and like,
yeah.
I met Warren then, but briefly. It was like real briefly because my manager had a relationship with Dr. Dre. So,
gotcha.
You know, we up there chilling with them. At that time, I was just trying to get signed. I was solo. And get up there, we busting in the cypher, and Suge is like, yo, come on, y'all. I got some contracts in the car. I want to sign y'all. We like, me and Indigo, we both looking at each other like, nah, we under 18. We probably was like 17 or 18 at
okay,
that time.
Okay.
So we both was like, nah, we need our parents' signature, because he was like, I got contracts in the truck. Like, come on. I mean, that's how Suge was signing people.
Oh, wow.
He'd be like, no, I got 5 G's on me. What's up? And we was like, nah. Like, so luckily we got out of that situation. But
yeah, you did.
But anyway, yeah, but that was like the first time I met, I kind of came across Warren, but we didn't really like get to chop it up like that. So the second time was, by that time I graduated. Now I'm in college. Josh Skills was in, she was going to Long Beach, Cal State, and I was going to Brooks College in Long Beach.
Okay.
And we had a mutual friend that was like, yo, y'all both need to connect. And back then, I was getting managed by this cat named Jomo, who was Aaliyah's cousin
okay.
at the time. And so he was kind of my manager at the time when I did meet Warren and them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were kind of like, well, they were trying to give me a solo deal. But when I met Jeff Skills, we kind of clicked immediately. And she had already did Sister, Super Soul Sister. She had already actually been recording with Warren.
Okay.
When we hooked up, she was kind of like, yo, you dope. And I was like, yo, you dope. I took her around all of my female rap homies, because I already had like a crew of females that I rapped with.
Right.
And I took her to meet all of them. I was like, okay, y'all tell me. She probably don't know this, but I did take her around everybody so they could kind of tell me if I should fuck with her or not.
Right.
And, you know, I took her to Indigo. I took her to Cobra Red. I took her to Knee High. I was just like, yo, y'all, what you think? And they was like, do it, you know, whatever. So anyway, she took me to Warren. I spit for Warren. He was like, okay, y'all dope. Y'all should, you know, he was like, y'all should be a group. So we was like, all right. So we was like, we the 5 foot crew. And you know, my other management wasn't really happy because they were like, we're trying to sign you to a solo deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the time, me and Josh Skills weren't ready for solo deals.
Right, right.
So it was like, nah, we could just link up and it just, I don't know, group stuff is sometimes a little easier, I think.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I think we both were able to be solo artists. It just so happened Warren just was kind of like, I mess with y'all, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mess with both of y'all. So
mm-hmm.
from that point, we still were in college, and Warren kind of said one day, yo, I'm about to go to New York. Y'all, I'm gonna get y'all some tickets. And we both like, we in college.
Right.
Like, yo, we about to go to Def Jam, whatever. I got to go to New York, you know, get ready. So we like, from that point, it was kind of like, we just, you know, he was popping in too. So from that point, we were just like, shit, we out.
Right.
So I was kind of in college. We both were kind of in college, but like kept dipping because he kept taking us to, you know, to New York. he was in New York probably like 2-3 times a month for like a cool 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Just meeting with Def Jam and just hanging out with Warren G, because he was like, Regulate was blowing up at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of did the this DJ video. Warren then came and was like, actually had a production deal for us. And like, we did some songs on, I think we did a song on the Twins album.
Mm-hmm.
So we started seeing money. The first song I actually did where I got paid was Walk Away.
Okay.
And that was, you know, on a soundtrack. So that was like my first time in a big studio getting paid, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think I even invited Medusa to the session. Medusa was up in the session. So it was like, you know, I was always connected to the underground and always connected to something going on in the industry. And it was just like, once I did Walk Away, it was like, damn, $5K in your pocket at like 18, 19.
Right.
I mean,
that's
was
a lot
cool.
of money.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, after that, it was kind of like, you know, we did the Walk Away, but then we did like the Twins album, and then we would do stuff. We were working on some of Warren's album, and we did a St. Ives commercial. But then it was like, yo, they're not even 21. We can't.
Oh.
Like, we did the commercial, got paid, everything, and then they was like, did anybody ask them if they were 21? We wasn't even 21. So, by you know, so pretty much from out of high school straight to college till about 20. Like, I achieved so much. Like, I was just like, yo, I want to be a rapper. I want a record deal. I want to do this. I want to do that. I achieved a lot of that by 25. You know what I mean? I want to go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot, you know. So I think, Warren, when you say, what was it like being with the G-Funk, man? You chilling with a bunch of Crips with money. I mean, it was crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was crazy. But, I mean, Warren always showed his love. He never took our publishing. He let us be creatively free.
Right.
We was probably the most hip-hop motherfuckers in the crew.
Mm-hmm.
So they all looked at us like, well, they got bars. You know what I mean? We always had bars, and we always was writing. And you know, I appreciate him for that, because Warren never tried to, he never tried to, like, make us do anything that we didn't want to do creatively. He was just like, because I think he just believed in us as artists, and that's a lot, you know, and that's very hard, you know, as women.
Right.
A lot of people don't believe in the women that they deal with, so they get them ghostwriters, and they tell them, dress this way, look this way, this is what's going to get you your bread, because, you know, a lot of times your talent is not respected enough, or, you know, enough.
Right.
So I just think Warren really didn't press us like that, and I'm thankful for that, because I don't know what it's like to be with a crew that's like, you gotta show your titties everywhere, you gotta do this, or you gotta bounce that ass or pop that pussy. Like, I don't know what that feels like, because we weren't forced to do that, and we still got out and got money. So.
And you were true MCs, you know, natural MCs. You didn't need all that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean. I think we always just stood true to our, I would say West Coast roots, but I guess there's a lot of West Coast cats that got ghostwriters too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I just think, you know, as far as MCs type stuff, I just think we really respected the art form of just being able to tell your own story and you know, having the, having the skills to write your own story, you know what I mean? Because I think a lot of times when you let somebody else write for you, they're telling your story, but from their perspective, I guess. And I'm just not into that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'd rather just say what the hell's on my mind. And if you feel it, you feel it. If you don't, you don't.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. So what was one of your favorite projects that you've worked on in your career?
I did a song with Rick James.
Oh, wow.
That was
crazy. Okay.
I did two songs with Rick James, actually. That was kind of crazy.
That had to have been insane, that studio session, man.
Yeah, right when he got out of jail, actually, it was a session where Yo-Yo was supposed to go.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, she couldn't make it, but my friend called me and was like, well, shit, you want to come in and, you know, work with Rick James? And I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? I liked Rick James, but it was like, well, yeah, I mean, fuck it. I'm always down for opportunity, you know?
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
And so that session was crazy, because when we got there, you know. Of course, he was like, he was so funny. He was so nice, too. Rick James was so nice. I think we probably were smoking weed.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Nothing crazy.
Right, right.
But he did, he told me about, he definitely told me some stories.
He
did say, don't never do crack. That's what he told me. Don't you ever do no crack.
So Charlie Murphy wasn't like, lying on the Chappelle Show.
I'm like, okay, Rick. Okay, Rick. You know what I'm saying? But he was so cool. He was a sweetheart. He, I wish I would have really spent more time with him and really, like, took advantage of that relationship. You know what I mean? Because he really was like, we did one song and he really enjoyed it, and we did another one, and he was down. I mean, he was like down for me. So, I mean, you know, I definitely, that was one of my favorite moments. And just working with MC Light,
yeah.
You know, MC Light, I probably got about 2 or 3 songs with her.
Okay.
And to actually be able to say you have a song with a person you looked up to that, mm-hmm. like, inspires you to rap was, like, stupid. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. She's one of the greats, man. She's one of the greats. I love MC Light. Got a chance to meet her, you know, just different industry events. And she's, like, really real. She's as real as they come, you know, very down to earth. And that's pretty dope to be able to say you work with both Rick James and MC Light. That's dope as hell.
I know. That's like a crazy spectrum, but yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You're listening to Neb Love here from the Five Footers with Big Brother Jake. Talk about how the whole process, you were credited as one of the writers on Saint-Tropez with J. Cole. How did that come about? Because J. Cole, he's, you know, he's up there. Everybody knows who he is. They love him. How did they approach you?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, just in a nutshell, I never met J. Cole.
Okay.
But J. Cole did, he's a producer, and he did sample one of Warren G's songs, and the song he sampled was Hollywood from the Twins album.
Yeah, okay.
Shout out to Twins.
Yeah.
Shout out Warren G. That song was done so long ago, right?
Right.
That when we got the call from Sony, like, yo, we want to use y'all shit, you know, we got to get the money right and paperwork and all that right.
Right.
This is why it's important for publishing. This is why when you write your own shit, you hold the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody could do your song 10, 20 years later, and you're getting paid. So that was like a double check. I already got paid for that song.
Right.
But because J. Cole flipped it again, I got paid again. So shout out J. Cole, because I definitely needed that bread at that moment.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that just shows you that music has longevity. And, you know, you got to keep making it, because you don't know what somebody might hear later on. And because we didn't release that song as a single or anything.
Right.
But somehow J. Cole got to it, heard it, flipped it. And, you know, and got us all paid again. So, yeah. And I did get my writers. So, I mean, it's really important as artists, if you write your music and you write your lyrics, you may be able to sell that or get a piece of another song, you know, another hit. So,
right.
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. It's crazy because we got sampled by J. Cole. That's crazy.
That's pretty
damn
dope.
And that's the same thing that happens when, you know, when producers sample artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that was a blessing for real.
Absolutely. So if there was one dream project or a dream producer you could work with, who would it be?
Ooh, a dream producer.
Or even another artist. I mean, you got two you already got to work with, but.
Well, I would say, as far as dream producer,
mm-hmm.
I would probably say, damn, it's so many, but.
There is. Put you on the spot.
I know. Damn, probably Hitman.
Okay.
Actually, you know, I think his last name is Hollis. My last name is Hollis. So,
right.
You know, I don't know. We probably related.
Try to get that family discount, you know?
Right. You know what I mean? But yeah, Hitman, like, he done made his hits, and he still make hits. But, like,
yeah.
Like, I think I could definitely, like, do some crazy shit with him.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Who are some of the artists you're feeling right now?
I mean,
are you with some of this music they're doing right now?
As far as newer artists, I would say, you know, I like Lil Uzi.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Lil Uzi. I like Megan Thee Stallion. I like her.
Okay.
I think she be spitting for what, you know, like she got that southern, that Texas flow.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like this chick named Chica.
Okay.
As far as, you know, she's dope. She's kind of like up and coming. Tierra Whack. As far as females go, it's crazy because a lot of times I only listen to beats. I'm very boring. And that's it. I like Billie Eilish. You know what I mean? Billie Eilish. I mean,
now she's dope too.
I mean, I was on her like 3 years ago. Like 3 years ago, I was bumping her stuff. So I was like, everybody was late.
Right.
I like her as far as like a new artist. I think her name is Rosalia.
Mm-hmm.
Latin chick. She don't be speaking a lot of English and shit, but she dope.
Right.
She dope. You know, and then as far as artists that's been out that's still spitting and stuff, I mean, I think, man, it's always good to just hear artists that still have it.
Mm-hmm.
I think like Black Thought, I've heard him, you know, spit a couple times and just kill it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But damn, it's crazy. I don't listen to a lot of artists like that.
Yeah.
I listen to mainly like beats.
Right. I feel you because a lot of this stuff out
I'm
there right
still
now,
like a
man.
Hip-hop head. I'm still like a beat junkie. So
yeah.
I really just be kind of vibing with the beats. I've been listening to, I just like whatever is hot. I mean, I definitely like trap shit.
Oh, so you into the trap music?
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes. And then sometimes I just like, I don't know if it's real East Coast shit, but just like bangers. I just like bangers. It don't matter to me.
Right.
It could be whatever West Coast trap, whatever. Like if it move me, then I'm a bang it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think people went crazy on the auto tune. I mean, that's to me unfortunate. I mean, I like Trippie Redd. He kind of has a little auto tune-ish style,
right.
But I like him. You know, I think he sings and raps out, you know, about whatever the fuck
right.
he's feeling. You know what I mean? And I like that. I like that.
Okay.
I mean, I just think, I like expressive people. Like, just,
right.
You know, hey, if you vibing, I'm vibing with you.
Absolutely. I feel you. Now, last question before we let you go. What new projects you got cooking that's going on right now for you?
Well, I'm working on a project called Dirty Summers right now with a collaboration with artists.
Mm-hmm.
The artists involved in that, one of them is Virginia Slim. She was actually the person on the Tupac song with the girlfriend.
Okay.
At the end, she was the gun.
Uh-huh.
That's Virginia Slim. So she actually is a writer as well. And so she's on this project, Knee High from the Five Footers. A chick named Omega,
mm-hmm.
who also went by the name of Miss Marvel, and she used to rap with J. Rue back in the days.
Okay.
Damages. So if you heard J. Rue Damages, old shit, Miss Marvel,
yeah.
She's now at Omega.
Okay.
She's still sick. So she's on it. My boy named Cree, who's a singer,
mm-hmm.
he's dope, and he's on it. And we got some other little sprinkles here and there, but it's a really fun album. And it's basically talking about how dirty this summer was and how, you know, we found all this creative inspiration within it. Because, you know, you have to be in there with the mask.
Yeah.
You're wiping everything down.
Yeah.
This is everywhere you go. It's like you got to be, like, on some clean stuff because it's every, you know, because you don't know where these germs is at. So it's really been like a dirty summer.
Right,
and
right.
So, yeah, so we wrapping up that album. I got an album called Bang City 2. That I'm dropping, which is my solo shit, and we got a producer Day One on that. He's doing a couple of tracks on that, and just some, you know, I mean, I'm always working, man. Got some mixtapes.
Okay.
I'm dropping, and I'm actually doing like a time capsule series where I'm going back and I'm redropping a lot of my old shit that I never really put out because it really wasn't a clear avenue to do it, and now I think with you know, the different distribution companies, the internet distribution companies like DistroKids or CD Babies, whatever you choose, whatever route you choose to go, we now have the option to be in control of how we release our music. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. So, Ned, where can they find you on social media and all your projects? Where can the people find you?
Well, they can go buy stuff right now on nevlove.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
If you Google Nevlove, NEBLUV, you can, I'll pop up, you know what I mean? But right now, Bandcamp is one way to buy my stuff. You can always just hit me direct and I could, you know, pay Tommy some bread. And I'll make sure you got like a banging little, you know, compilation of music.
Okay.
You know, we also re-released the Five Footers album. So the Five Footers Lost Scroll is now on digital release.
Mm-hmm.
And Warren G produced that. We also are re-releasing Lifetime, which was produced by Warren and a couple of other producers. But on the Lifetime album, we actually do feature MC Light.
Okay.
We got The Outlaws. We got Corrupt. Warren G, that's a great album. We dropped it in Japan, nice. But we never released it.
Okay.
Locally, so now we're gonna actually release it digitally, and it is great because you get to see the growth of the Five Footers. Mm-hmm. You get to see what we did with Warren G, and it's a different vibe. You know, everything is my Five Footer shit is different from my Neb Love shit, so that's good. You know, you get to see
diversity,
me in different environments,
right. Versatile.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Ned, we really appreciate you coming on and showing us a little history about, you know, your whole career. And man, Rick James, I didn't even see that coming. I do my research, but I missed that one. But it was a pleasure to talk to you.
It's an Urban Rhapsody album. So.
Okay.
Yeah, they touched it, but it's on there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you doing this for us, and we look forward to all your projects coming up.
All right, love. That's what's up. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it.